turn to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just in love with you, Lord, and we truly asking tonight, Lord, do not pass us by. Father, even right now as we just wait on you, Lord, we need grace in this hour like never before. I'm just so thankful as we sing the words of this song, Lord, truly, with that humble cry. Lord, would you just hear that from each heart this evening? Lord, as we turn our eyes upon you, Lord, we ask that you would move amongst us tonight. You would take my lips, Lord, and speak, express yourself through me, Lord, and that you would touch each one, Lord. We are truly looking to you, Lord, and trusting in you, relying in you. Father, just settle us down, I pray tonight. The age we live in, there's so many things that just seem to get us so tossed about sometimes and upset and worried and worked up. And we just ask, Lord, you'd help us, give us grace to put those things aside, Lord. Truly, as your word says, to cast our cares, Lord, to throw them. And to do that, Lord, we got to let go of them first. Lord, help us tonight just to let go of our weights and worries and cares, Lord, to release them to you. Grant it, Father, we pray. And just again asking your hand upon this time, the ministry of your word, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated for just a moment. God bless you all. So good to be with you. Lord is good. Amen. Just thinking of the scriptures, as I think it's in the Psalms where David says, you know, fret not thyself because of the evil doers. I think it's a good time to remember that, you know. Amen. Don't fret. There's a lot that we could get worked up and fret about, but the scripture tells us don't. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Yes, ma'am. Oh, it's Psalm. Somebody with a phone can, you know what? Anybody with a phone can look that. I think that's Psalms. Let's read it real quick. If somebody beats me to it, that's fine. So it's Psalm 37:1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So, amen. Hold on to that. Fret not. And fear not. So, just so many things to keep in mind in this hour. Don't be afraid. Don't fret. The Lord is with us. The Lord is in control. He's Amen. Good. Is he good all the time? All the time. Is he in control? Amen. He's working all things together for our good. So, just want to share something tonight that the Lord had on my heart. Two different things that, boy, this might seem strange to kind of put these things together, and yet I think they fit. So I'm sorry I just had you sit down. Let's stand up for just a reading here in Revelation chapter 2. This has always been a real, real rich, beautiful verse for me, and we'll kind of use this, kind of bring out this subject. So Revelation chapter 2. And verse 25. And so this is to the church there in Thyatira. But this word is so beautiful. Verse 25 says, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." So you can be seated, and I want to kind of move from there. We'll savor that together in our hearts. But I think that's such a beautiful word there. And to what you have already, what you have been given, church, what you in this hour have is so amazing. And I think the enemy, you know, we know that he works. He thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he robs us sometimes. He tries to get our eyes off of these realities. But the riches that we have within us in Christ, in this word of this hour, I want to do my best, my feeble effort to build up him tonight. So let's talk. I pray by counting on him to stimulate ourselves to, you know, Peter talks about stir up your minds by way of remembrance. So as we go through this thought tonight in these scriptures, I just pray the Lord would just be so magnified again in the things that you have right now. Not great things are coming, I believe that. But Brother Ram said sometimes, you know, we're guilty of looking off, we're looking back, and we're not realizing what he's doing right now. And so I just want to kind of draw on that thought again of that which you have already, that which you possess. We're rich, we're blessed beyond measure. So I want to talk about these things tonight, just what the church has, what's inside you right now. The enemy can try to convince us of our deficiencies. He does that a lot. But we're going to focus and talk about what we do have, what's inside of us. And to go along with that, another thing, these are all realities, things that he's working on by his grace. But we'll go into that first. And then a little bit later on, I want to look at just our weakness, our inabilities, and our frailty. Scripture says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So again, I know this seems like two very strange things. It's not me, it's what's inside me. And that's what we're looking at. Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. So it's not you, it's not me. I have no goodness in myself. There's nothing I can point to, but it's him. So we want to try to strike that balance tonight, just looking at those both realities of, again, the riches and the blessings and all that we have in Christ in this hour, and yet, again, by his grace, the place he's taking us to, I think, more and more and more, where you and you and you and each one of us diminish and decrease and become weak. We don't like that, but I think that's very necessary so he can become greater and stronger and bigger in us. So there you go. That's my heart in a nutshell, and we just trust the Lord again as we go through this to bring these things together for us. So we'll start off. This is beautiful. In the message, Revelation, Book of Symbols, we've read this before, but let's not tune it out and go to sleep. Let's savor this together for a minute. He says, so the church, paragraph 70, the church of the living God that's been borne down in the middle of fanaticism and chaos, but she's wound her way through the grime until she's on top of the thing right now, spreading forth her wings for the flight. It says, many shall run to and fro, and the people that know their God shall do exploits in that day. Now listen to what he says here. He says, God's revelation to his church, sit still, little flock. Positionally stay where you are. As Sister Gertie and Sister Angie used to sing, keep holding on. Don't worry. Don't worry. God is waiting and trying and pressing to get at the mystery of God revealed to his church. That's what's holding back the coming of Christ now. And the great millennium is the great supernatural power that really lays dormant in the church. Wow. Let's feast on that. Think about that. Savor that with me. So let's go into some scriptures. We'll kind of weave this back and forth. But Philemon chapter 1, which there's just Philemon chapter 1, but to kind of go along with that. And verse 6 says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So again, Lord, open our eyes more, stimulate our understanding, our revelation of what you've equipped us, what you've blessed us with, how rich we are. We can see that quote that we just read, that power, the riches, the things that are in us that God's going to do for us in days to come. We're so blessed. We're blessed beyond measure. So let's look at these things together. Another one here, this is Brother Branham. He says in the message, Questions and Answers, he said, oh, if the great holy church only realized its power to do these things, he says, but there's so much doubt and fear and trembling, wondering if it will, could it happen? As long as that exists, the church can never stand upright. He says, when every talk of fear is vanished and the Holy Spirit is completely in control of the church, Then all fears are gone, and the church has the power. See? He says, why? They have everything that heaven owns behind them. They're ambassadors of the throne, absolutely. An ambassador of Christ has the authority, and everything that Christ owns belongs to the ambassador. You see, it's beautiful. He says, and then he talks about the whole, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He says, you are my witnesses after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what is a witness? It's an ambassador to come and witness something. The whole powers of heaven is right in your hands, church. Do you believe that, Lord? Quicken these things. Wake up. Stir these things up within us. That which you have already, hold fast. So let's go through some scriptures again. Just want to magnify him and magnify these things, trusting the Lord. I love the scripture, and we'll just quote some of these. I'll read. We can turn to them if you want. But the angel speaking to Joseph, telling her, he says, that which, you know, fear not to take Mary, your wife, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can you say that? That which is conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost. So let's recognize that. Are we? Is it so much here that we have, greater is he, again, that we quoted, than he that's in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So even there we can see this reality of all these things that we just quoted, all that I just talked about, in earthen, marred, frail, weak, fleshly vessels. What an amazing, beautiful reality. It's, again, it's him. It's his glory, because he will be a glorified alone. For his grace, you know, his grace will glorify him. So let's just keep moving on through these. You're equipped, you're filled. I love that this is in 2 Timothy. We know this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now let's not go through this too quickly. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you, it's for you, this word, this is for you, that the man of God, the child, the son and daughter of God may be perfect, complete, finished, truly furnished and to all good works. So there it is. It's this word that's been given to you so that you can be equipped. What is the enemy telling you? What is he convincing you in terms of your identity? It's all in Christ, and he's in us, and he's given us so much. The riches, the wealth of heaven, the power of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven, right, is where? In us, in me, in you. Amen. And I love this. I'm just going to keep going. This thought again is what's inside me? What's inside you? Recognizing him in us. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3 says, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but fleshly tables of the heart. In your heart, his word has been written. Tell me who can take that away from you. It's him. It's him writing his word, inscribing that within you. You've received it. You received him, and nothing can undo that. He's engraved his word himself upon you. Do you see again what's inside of us? Jesus told us in John 14:20, at that day, you'll know that I am in my Father, you and me, and I in you. So these things, I think, as time goes on, more are going to be more of a reality to us. We quote them, and I think there's a depth there that's growing, but it's going to continue to grow. These things, I think, more precious, more of a reality. 1 Corinthians 6:19, we know this, says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. I want to read that first here in the King James and then out of the Weis, because it's just amazing. We'll read just chapter 2 of Colossians in verse 9. It says, "For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Awesome, isn't that? Now, I want to, if I can go back, in the West, it says, "Because in him there is continuously and permanently at home all the fullness of absolute deity in bodily fashion." Isn't that rich? Now listen, "And you are in him." You're counted in there. "And you are in him, having been completely filled full, with the present result that you are in a state of fullness in him who is the head of every principality and authority." Amen. It's him in us, brothers and sisters. Not anything that within ourselves, but it's him recognizing who we are in him. Amen. We have so much to rejoice in. 1 John, we'll turn to just a couple more here. 1 John chapter 2. "That which you have already, hold fast." Amen. What's inside of us? All right. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. If you want to turn there, it says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you." Amen. "And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even it as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Amen. What a reality. That anointing that's with you, teaching you, guiding you, he tempers us, he corrects us, he trains us constantly as a father does his son, revealing himself. Amen. So I just love that. And you know what's neat is if you turn back to the Old Testament, turn back to Isaiah, I saw this verse and it struck me. It's very, very similar. I just want to turn back to that briefly. Isaiah chapter 59, sorry. And the last verse there, verse 21, says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth." Oh my goodness. What security, what a reality. "Nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." What an anchor, what a promise, what reality. He's saying, my spirit, my word which I've placed inside you, it's my working, it's not going to depart. Not only that, your seed and your children's children, thank you, Lord. So why would we fret? Why would we worry? Why should we be upset? It's his work that he's doing. Amen. What a security, what a reality we have. Amen. In him. Not me, but it's him. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. This is from the Message Adoption. Just wanted to catch this. Of course, we've read this, but it's just so beautiful. He says, "What's everything waiting on? What's the whole creation waiting for?" It says, "The manifestation of the sons of God." It's waiting for the church to become into its position. Who was the sons of God? When he says, who was the sons of God when Adam? Where was his domain? He said, the earth. He had domain over the earth. Is that right? He says he wasn't even Elohim then. He was Jehovah. That is, I am God, and I've made some lesser ones under me, and I have given them a dominion. And their domain, the dominion under them, is the earth. Man had dominion over the earth, and all the whole creation is waiting for those sons to be manifested. Lord, wake us up more. Quicken these things. Stir up these things within us. He says in the Message, "Christ is the mystery of God revealed." He says the new birth is Christ, a revelation. He says God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a birth. He says, now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions the same thing he did making the word manifest. He says, oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Oh, don't you see this, just this beautiful, all these things, brothers and sisters. There's so much more. We could go on and on, but I love that. Even back to the Philemon that we read there, acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. You're rich. You're blessed. You've been given so much in this hour. Take hold of these things. Cherish these things. Don't let the devil beat you down. Get your eyes trained on something else. It's him. Amen. It's the word that's been engrafted, engraved on your heart, written upon your heart. These things are inside of you and a part of you, and it's him. I was just reading and the account there of Rahab and the spies and how she hid those messengers. She brought them into her house. Everything around her gave way, but she was safe and totally secure because she had hid those messengers. And I thought, what a picture. What a type. In this hour, we've received that message into our hearts. Everything around us can give way. Everything else will fail, but there's safety, security in him with that message, Christ himself hidden in our hearts. Amen. Don't you love him? So it's his grace, brothers and sisters, bringing us into these things. With that, so let's look at the other kind of side here of just seeing again that it's not me, it's him. And I believe there's a process by his grace that he's taking us through, and a process again of diminishing self so that he can, these realities, these things that are inside of us can become greater as we become less. Amen. I love David in Psalm 39, he says, Lord, make me to know mine end, the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. How many of you asked God for that? Lord, help me to know how small I am. You know, stick your finger in that bucket of water and take it out, right? As he says, that reminds me, I was reminded recently, I think it's the, who is it, the cowboy, the quote that he says, if you think you're something, just try ordering somebody else's dog around, right? Does that ring a bell? I think it was an old, I can't remember who now, sorry, but kind of on that same thing, just to, Lord, realize, wake us up and help us to realize how small we are with that understanding how great he is. You know, so again, this beautiful marriage at once of less of me and more of him. Lord, waken up these things to know what you've placed inside me, to know the greatness of yourself and your kingdom in our hearts, and yet not with any ounce at all of confidence in self. Abraham, as he drew closer to that promised son, his flesh grew weaker and older, and yet that reality becoming stronger. I think are we going to experience that ourselves in different ways? So let's take a look at some of those things as well. I like this. If you want to turn here with me, because we're going to just take this look now at again, you could say maybe humility, lowliness, weakness, all these things of man. Again, what the Lord, I think, is he's desiring in us. It's part of his own nature, part of his own attributes, this lowliness, if you will. So that he can be expressed, he can be manifested. Psalm 131, this has always been just an awesome one to me, real special. Yeah, so Psalm 131, and we'll just read that first verse, says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Now, if we could practice that day in and day out, tell me how much of your stress and your worry and your care is going to be offloaded. Because if I truly say, Lord, if I understand things too high for me, okay, what things are too high for me? Everything. Yeah, I can manage to tie my shoes and maybe get dressed. And I don't mean that to be, you know, people can do that. I'm just, but you get the point. What's too great for me? What's too high for me? Lord, I'm nothing. I need your help. I need your grace in everything, every moment of every hour of every day. I just, like we sang that song earlier, Lord, hear, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. That humble cry is what draws him, that is so attractive to him. Lord, I need you. I have no strength, no ability, no goodness whatsoever in self, in me. Oh, my goodness. So it's all him, to the praise and the honor and the glory of his grace. His glory will he share with no man. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So it's him. He says in John chapter 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm reminded of Solomon as the Lord came to him and asked him, what would you have me? Do you want a wealth? Do you want all these things? He said, Lord, I'm nothing. I don't even know how to lead your people. I don't know how to come out or go in. And that beautiful cry that Solomon, I think that was so attractive to the Lord. And it's attractive to, you know, in each one of us, that same characteristic when we can say, Lord, I'm nothing and I need you. Help. So do you see, again, these beautiful realities at once? I think that by his grace, he's taking us to a greater realization, a greater reality of what we possess now in him, in the Spirit, in this word that's been opened up, the mysteries, all these things that you possess. And yet it's not you, it's him, it's all him. And he needs us to decrease. He's going to weaken us, I believe, in ourselves in the right way, so that he can become more, he can become greater and stronger. Isaiah 66 says, thus saith the Lord, the heavens my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Somebody who's got it all figured out, somebody who's confident and bursting with, no, he says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, trembles at my word. Lord, let that be found in us. Zechariah 4, I'm just going through these. They're familiar, I know, but let's pray again. The Lord will help us to savor these things, hold on to them. He says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Nothing of self. It's him alone. Amen. Even as Jason went over on Sunday, Paul, I'm going to glory in my weakness so that the power, the strength of God can be made manifested. There it is. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We can see this so beautiful here. I apologize. I know I'm quoting a lot of these and then returning to some sort of a little bit back and forth here, but just so fitting. So verse 26 says, for ye see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, his doing, are ye in Christ Jesus. He placed you in his Son, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Wow, there, that's so much right there. You have been blessed. He's placed you in his Son. He's equipped you. He's given you all these things, all that you have needed. But it's him. Recognize that. Glory in him, not in anything of ourselves. Amen. Even Jesus, he says, you know, in Matthew 11, we know that. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. That characteristic of God in his Son, I'm meek and lowly. Amen. I love Paul in Philippians 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, none at all. Oh my goodness, I'm trembling a little bit just because what does God have to take us through to get us to that point where we have no confidence in self whatsoever? Death to self, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. Oh my, we're going to look at some things in the Psalms here. I love this. This is 57. I'll just kind of read some of these again. You can turn if you want, but this is Psalm 57, verse 1. It says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I take my refuge, or make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. Boy, does that sound like a fitting verse for this hour, these calamities. Lord, hide me in this hour. Let me take refuge under your wings. 57 verse 2 says, I will cry unto God, most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. I love that. Well, Lord, I've gone as far as I've done all that I can do, and now I need you to take the rest. No. I'm going to cry unto the Lord who does all things for me. I can do nothing. I need him. Psalm 44. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread them that rise up against us. And I like verse 6. He says, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long. I like that. Amen. Is he our boasting? Is it all there in him? I could not go into this without, of course, bringing out the message, perfect strength by perfect weakness. Just an absolute masterpiece. So I want to get into a little bit of that here now, just as we kind of wrap up here. Paragraph 52, he says, notice that it takes the weakest and the rejected. I want to just go over this slowly. Please savor it with me. The weakest and the rejected, and practically every hero that God ever had on the front line was that type of person. A person that was rejected. A person that thought he was insufficient. A person that had no ability at all. Then that person's just in good shape so God can start using them. There you go. It's all in him. Amen. That's right. It's when they feel like they can't, when they haven't got nothing, that's when God can take a hold of them and do something with them. Oh, humble us, Lord. But when we're thinking that we're able to do it, then God can't use us because we're wanting to do it ourselves. And then the other side, we get these feelings and we think we're insufficient and we don't want to do it. But then if we just listen to the call of God, that's the very thing that God wants us to do to get into that kind of a shape. So he says, when we are insufficient ourselves, then we are subjects to yield to God's Spirit. Oh my, just let that sink in. As long as we think we can do it, then we can't do it. Do we see this again? How awesome these realities are. What do you have inside you, brothers and sisters? We want to magnify him. to see the reality of what He's done for us in this hour, what has been given to us. That which You have already, You possess all things, and yet it's not us, it's Him. And He is, by His grace, taking us to a place, working by His grace, to through surrender, through death to self, to where we're nothing and He's everything. He says again, as long as we think that we can do it, then we can't. But when we get to a place where we know we can't do it, then we yield ourselves and He does it. So then if it's us trying to do it, we'll fail. But if we'll just yield ourselves to God, then God can't fail. He says there's only one thing that God can do, and that's fail. He can do anything else but fail. Now listen, He says, so as long as we're trying in ourselves and depending on our own abilities and so forth, we'll do nothing. But when we get to a place where we know we're nothing, God can use us. Oh my, isn't that amazing? Psalm 73, just a couple more here. Actually, hold on, let me go back to this message here. So that was paragraphs 52 through 55 of Perfect Strength Through Perfect Weakness. Then dropping down to paragraph 91, he says, listen to this man who was a warrior, had stripped himself. Amen. If there's anything that our schools needs today, it's anything our churches needs today, it's a stripping of themselves, of your own thoughts and your abilities. Strip yourselves before God unless you would try to do something within yourselves. He says, I hope that gets down deep, both here in the tape world too, that you realize that you've got to become nothing. Not a know-it-all, not a great somebody, but a nobody. You've got to become dust. You've got to get to a place where you know that you're nothing, and don't ever, listen to this, oh my, don't ever rise above it, for as soon as you rise above it, you rise above God. Awesome. You've got to keep yourself in the dust and on the road to Damascus. You've got to keep yourself off your high horse, and that's, my, oh my. Psalm 73, I love this. Verse 26 says, listen to this. We just go over this too fast sometimes. My heart and my flesh faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. My flesh and my strength has failed. I don't have any, but God's my hope. God's my anchor. God's my confidence. It's all in Him. As He says in another place, Psalm 18, verse 29, for by Thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I leaped over a wall. You see that beautiful reality that you can see expressed there in David. My confidence is all in Him. I will not trust in my sword, neither will my right hand. It's not there, it's Him. It's He's everything. Now listen, this is just later on in closing. We'll actually, musicians, if you want to go ahead and come, we'll. This is paragraph 118. Look at this. He says, here is something to console us. Here is something that encourages. I love this. Listen. Out of weakness and humility, God chooses the people to build His kingdom out of. If we ever get to heaven, if we ever stand in the presence of God with His church, we'll stand with a bunch of people that's been weak and rejected and cast out by the world and know it nothings, He says. And know it nothings. Are you a know it nothing? Oh, Lord, help us, I pray. That's so contrary to this world that we know in this age, that people will be heady, high-minded, so much about self and self-rights, and we know that's what Laodicea means, people's rights, self-defense and self-promotion and all these things. And He's saying the opposite, get rid of it all. He says, just a couple more, He says, isn't it strange that God likened us to sheep? A sheep is the most helpless thing there is. There's nothing so insufficient of defense than the sheep. A rabbit can run, a squirrel can get in a tree, a dog can bite, a lion can tear, a horse can kick, a bird can fly, but a sheep stands helpless. He says, that's the way God wants us. Realize that we are totally insufficient. Then God takes that person and begins to mold him himself into that person, make his hands do what God would have hands to do. Make his lips speak what God's lips speak would be, because they're not his, they're God's. He begins to build a character, and he begins to take this weakness and make his own self. Amen. Isn't he beautiful? Don't you love him? Oh my goodness, brothers and sisters, let's just embrace these things. Love and cherish this walk. And again, it's his grace that's doing this. I pray that the Lord would stir up in this weak, feeble message, but the word isn't weak, that he would so revive our hearts, the things that we have within us, the treasures and the riches, recognizing his kingdom within us, recognizing that greater is he that's in you. But he wants us to go enter into that place of nothingness, to be in that dust on the road, like he said. Meekness, lowliness, that cry that's so attractive and beautiful to him that says, Lord, I'm nothing, but I you're everything. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We're amazed and so awestruck at your character, Lord, your word, your beauty, Father. We just want to confess that tonight. Lord, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would just stir these things up in our hearts, Father. A greater quickening, a greater reality, Lord, of what truly is inside of us, what you have done, what you've given to us, Father. And with that, along with that, Lord, also by your grace, Lord, a greater surrender, a greater emptying of ourselves, Lord, to that point of weakness and frailty, Lord, knowing that, Lord, as soon as we try to act or make a move or do something in ourselves, we're getting in your way. Lord, help us, we pray, just to ask that you would again quicken these things, stir up our hearts, minister to each one in the way that you so please and so desire, Father. Be magnified, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Could we just, if you want to stand with me, I was singing, could we sing that song, He is able, more than able, to accomplish, what number is that? Number 25. All right, thank you so much. Yes. Concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what you want. Make it personal, sing, you are able. You are able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. You are able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. Much more than I could ever dream. You are able, more than able. how great is your God. Brothers and sisters, think of that. Just how great is He? How great is He? Is He greater than every problem you face? Amen. Is your confidence in Him, in His greatness, in His ability, in His love for you, that He's going to do exactly what He said He would do? He is going to perform His word. He's going to perfect that which concerns me. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that through one more time. You are able.
You are able, more than able, to accomplish concerns me today. Comes my way. You are able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. You are able, more than able, what you want to be.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Dad, did you want to say anything? Okay. Actually, Brother Ron, would you close service for us, please? You can stay right there if you want.
Amen. Amen. And, Matthew 24 talks about, Jesus talks about, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. See that your heart doesn't trouble you.
Amen.
Appreciate everything you said here tonight. It's wonderful. We need to change our thinking. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh God, You're so great. It seems like the longer we live, the more we realize how much we don't know. We're just getting started. Help us, Lord. Leave us not to our own understanding. Lord, we need You. We desire Your will to be done in our lives. We don't want to. We get pretty tired of our own ways. Lord, be with us each one as we go our separate ways now. And it was good for us to be here today. We are truly blessed. Blessed to know You. Blessed to have been given an opportunity to accept this message that's been delivered in our day and age. What a wonder You are. Lord, we thank You. I just can't say that often enough. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You. In all things we give You thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all.